How you doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac. You're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, what's good? My name is Victor Moore, and thank you for streaming or downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast, live on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit every Thursday at 12:30 p.m. And you can hear episodes, replay episodes on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. You can hear every episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast, wherever you're listening to it right now. It is available on Spotify, iTunes, anywhere podcasts are found. We're also on the brand new Border City Podcast Network, and you can catch us on our website, windcitysports.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all social media across the board. We'll talk about that at the end of the show, as we normally do. But today is Thursday, June 27th, 2019, and it's episode 151 of Wind City Sports. This is another pre-recorded episode from the past, probably 2 weeks ago, by the time this drops, that I've recorded it. It's strange talking like 2 or 3 weeks into the future. Usually, like I mentioned last week, we usually do the podcast a day or two before they're dropped, but obviously, on vacation in Italy, I wanted to kind of get it out of the way. And I am doing this one outside again, a little bit of a different recording method. Which is something I wanted to talk about for a while. I mean to say that I record the interviews in different forms, different versions, different ways. So sometimes you'll notice that the phone qualities are different. And that's pretty much why. You're certainly going to see that today in our two interviews this week on the podcast. And we're talking to two former hockey players. One is a returning guest to the show, former NHLer, played for various teams. He even played for our Windsor Spitfires. It's Joe Volkov, Ed Jovanovski, is coming back on the show to talk about the upcoming Ed Jovanovski golf tournament at Point West in Amherstburg, July 12th. So we'll be looking forward to that. He's going to tell us all about what's new, what's changed, talk about a little bit about last year, because he was on the show last year leading up to that, where we talked all about his career and stuff. He did mention that he was going to be making an appearance on Spit and Chicklets, which did not happen, so we do talk about that. And we talk about his infamous trip to Augustus that Biz Nasty always talks about on Spit and Chicklets, and actually that he has a golden ticket to go there pretty much whenever he wants. Following that interview, we are going to hear from Mark Cadot, a local hockey player who played in the O, he played for the London Knights, he played for the Plymouth and Detroit Whalers. He ended up going overseas. He played for the ECHL and then played in Nottingham for a few years, played in Italy. So talks about his playing career and then now coaching here in Windsor. He's coaching some of the best kids, the best athletes coming out of Windsor in the hockey world, obviously. So we talked to him all about his career and his hockey academy with DJ Smith. And I forgot to mention, Jovo gives us a little bit of old Stanley Cup predictions that you might have seen on YouTube. At the time we were talking, it was like game 6 between San Jose and St. Louis. So going back a little while ago, it feels like a year ago now. But let's send it over to our first interview with Jovo Cop, Ed Jovanovski. Here we go.
Welcome back to the show. On the phone right now, we have an NHL legend from right here in Windsor, former Spitfire 2, Jovo Cop, Ed Jovanovski. Welcome back, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Awesome. So first off, we talked to you last year. It's been pretty much a whole year. And at the end of our conversation, we were kind of shooting the shit, and you said that you're kind of hoping to be on the Spit and Chicklets podcast. I've been waiting to see that episode featuring Jovo. So why hasn't that happened? I was expecting it to be on at least within the year.
Yeah, you know what? I think these guys want some really good stories. And I think I'd rather keep those to myself. I actually just texted one last night. They've done a really good job. You know, those guys over at Spinchit, I know my buddies here in Florida kind of asked me the same question, kind of when you're going to go on and like listening to it. But hey, maybe down the road.
Yeah, never say never. I love it. And when you mentioned that, I was like, no way, that'd be awesome. Like you said, you have a bunch of stories. I'm sure there's ones that you want to keep to yourself, but always something you could talk about with the boys, right?
Right. And I think that's, I'm not sure they're too interested in talking hockey too much. I think they're looking for a lot of, you know, off ice stories. Which, you know, the guys have been on, get some beauty stories, but like I said, they've done a good job kind of capturing that side of the game.
Oh, absolutely. They've done a stellar job, and it's actually the farthest thing from a hockey podcast at this point, but it's still just right. So entertaining. And when they do talk about the game, they do have it down pretty good. And you could talk a lot about golf with Whitney. I mean, that's one thing that they always talk about on there, and pretty much what we're going to be talking about. One story that always comes up on there is your celebration for your 1,000th game and how you guys went to Augusta, I think, to play a round of golf there, and it cost Biz Nasty a good chunk of his paycheck. So what was it like playing there? Obviously, you're a big golf guy.
Well, you know, I'm a huge golf guy. That was the gift that was given to me. So, typical kind of the NHL, you know, guy plays 1,000 game, and you kind of open up a box, and it's the Rolex watch with the, engraved 1,000 games on there. So, I got the watch, and then I got a putter, and I'm like looking at this putter. I'm like, God, man, I got like 30 putters. Like avid golfer, so every avid golfer's got a bunch of putters. Getting pissed off at one, so you're taking the other one out. But anyway, take the putter cover off and gold plated. It says 1,000 games get you at a round at Augusta. So sure enough, to this day, I haven't used it yet. So I think there was some false info there. I haven't used it yet, but I'm going to use it. So I've been on Peter, to set this up. I know he's been busy with all the tournaments, so and with the closure of Augusta. So we're going to have to probably wait a little bit to get it. But I am looking forward to go play there. And when I do play there, I'll share my experience with you.
Awesome. So you actually haven't even used your ticket yet. At first, I thought you were saying you haven't used the putter.
No. I haven't. The putter sits as I'm sitting in my office right here. I'm looking at the putter. No, but I haven't been yet. It's just, too many things were going on. And a story on that. Peter called me. I think it was a couple years ago. And he's like, listen, Joe, well, can you get on a plane, like, tomorrow? We have me and Baker Finch, myself. What's the other Whisper Rock guy? He'll come to me. And he's like, play Augusta tomorrow. I'm like, Peter, I got my brother coming in for my member guest that's been planned for a while. He's like, okay, this thing's got no expiry on it, so we'll do it another time. So that's kind of where I even almost happened, but I had my brother coming in town for my member guest here in town, so we didn't use it. So
I got you. That's pretty much the golden ticket, though. So that putter, right?
Right. Yeah,
pretty sweet. That's cool. I'm sure that golf, like you said, you're a huge golf guy. I'm sure even when you were playing, it was a bit of an escape and just something fun to do with the guys, right?
It was, but hockey season is, there's so much going on, and with the kids, I think you're like during the season, you're just not finding time to play, and it obviously depends on where you're playing, allows you to play, but the off season is that time for players to kind of do your workout in the morning and then kind of hit the links later. So, to me, it's the best 3-4 hours, out of the day, having the opportunity to go play golf. To me, it's relaxing for me, even though it's, it kicks the shit out of you sometimes. I still enjoy it. It's a good escape for me.
Absolutely. And it probably kicks your ass in the heat. Like you're saying, depending on where you're playing, you might not get a lot of chances to play golf, but you've got to play in Florida and in Arizona, so obviously that's some good weather there. And still living in Florida, as we talked last time, you enjoyed your time there and wanted to stick around. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm in Florida, and with playing in Phoenix, kind of the number one golf kind of destination, for tourists to come. There's so many golf courses there. If you like that desert right into the plush fairways, You know, you got brown, then you're kind of, you know, with the nice lush green color. So the golf courses there are unbelievable. In Florida. I mean, this time of year right now is so spoiled during the winter, during the great, time to play. So I haven't played much now as the temperature is gone well into the 90s. It's a little bit muggy out there, but I'm looking forward to heading back home, getting a few rounds with my brother and at Point West.
Yeah, I think you mentioned your brother is a member. You were a member, so you guys are able to play down here. Is that right? I can't really remember.
Yeah, my brother's over at Point West, so every time we come in, we're definitely sneaking in a few rounds. And the weather is obviously nicer, back home than it is here in the summertime. So, but great track, always enjoying. It's a good test, and we have my golf tournament there too every year, so it's always a nice course to play.
Yeah, that's going to bring us into the tournament pretty much right now. Just one thing I wanted to touch upon, because it kind of bringing into how the whole event is kind of marketed. Throughout the year or whenever you're able to kind of get out there, do you kind of keep in touch with a lot of former teammates and players and even play golf with them? Or?
There's a handful of guys that I play with that live in the area, so... we're playing here. The guys that I see, the local guys from Windsor during my tournament. There's a bunch of guys here living in Florida, and they all love golf. So you're always going to have a game with them.
Yeah, that's the thing. I just find that all hockey players love golf, and especially the players that are playing there, or maybe they come to town. And, depending on how long they're there, might want to do something and hit up the links, right? So that kind of brings me to the annual Edge Ovanoski Golf Tournament. This year being a third tournament, the tourney is on July 12th. But talk just a little bit about last year's. I brought up playing with former NHL players because some articles I've been reading is that last year's event was said to be a success. It brought in a lot of past NHL stars. Just kind of give me your thoughts on last year's event.
Well, it was a great success, and I think for us, anytime you can give to a great cause, it's a win. So we have given over $100,000 to breast cancer research, and we're happy about that, and we see no dip this year. So we're looking to hopefully surpass that $50,000 amount this year, and that's what it's all about. I mean, we have a good golf course, good venue for the tournament, the great staff. The course is always in unbelievable shape. We have great corporate sponsors and the other participants in the tournament. So we're looking forward to another big day. It's a lot of fun, and everyone that has played in the event is always eager to sign up for the following year. So we've had that that interest day at a high level. So that's nice. And drink some beers, play some golf, have some laughs. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's had a little fun, right?
Yeah.
So for local hockey fans here in Windsor who might want to come out to the event, has anyone yet committed or maybe alluded to being part of the tournament in regards to some former NHL players?
Well, we have a lot of the local guys that are around town. The word's out, so we'll wait for their commitment. But we have Mikey DiPietro going to be the great NHLer for his passing and that's in the area. I'm not sure what the other guys plan, but we have reached out to all of them, and we'll see how that turnout is. But regardless, we have there to have a good time and kind of rub shoulders with friends and participants. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah, it always seems like it's a fun event, and I'm looking forward to actually coming out myself. But I'm sure all those guys are a big part of making it what it is, too, and everyone, all sponsors and everyone doing their part. Small things make a big difference. I just want to give a little shout-out to Scott Elliott. He set this up. He's been very instrumental and so, and he's been supporting the show ever since last year. When we needed him, he was supporting us. So I'm sure he's been doing a lot of work for this.
Yeah, along with, you know, Scott, my brother Denny, and his girlfriend Andrea, and the other Jen as well. So they've done an unbelievable job. And obviously, if people don't know the story, Scott was my minor hockey coach. We kept in contact for all these years, and he's always been, you know, supportive of me. And I think when we came together, you know, obviously with my mom's illness and her beating breast cancer, that we thought it was a great opportunity to use, you know, my platform and start this event. So he's been nuts, and, you know, thanks to him and thanks to everybody that lends their hand to doing this. It's not easy. There's a lot of moving parts that need to come together for the tournament. And when you have 144 players, there's a lot of things that need to be done. So them in Windsor, they're taking charge of that, and they've done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, a lot of work goes into these events that people don't really realize, right?
Right.
And we talked.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, you can kind of put together, you know, I'd like to have a golf tournament, but you know, you kind of grow it and it gets to, you know, this size, and you know, you're getting all the, you know, the food and beverage, and the golf course, and you know, the people at Point West have been unbelievable with their support. It's a great golf course. It's a fun, challenging golf course. So, like I said, you're right. You know, a lot of things need to come together.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of new stuff this year, too, if I'm not mistaken. Like the $1 million shot off, this hole-in-one competition. So, obviously, the event is heavily funded and is being very supportive, too, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a neat thing we threw in last year. And, you know, I believe this year that we've added a couple more of those shots. So, you know, hey, you had a chance to go up to, you know, the exact yardage of it, though. But, you know, hey, there's always that possibility that you could win, you know, $1 billion. So to have that, you know, there is a nice little touch that we've done. And, you know, it's always, you know, I think for tournaments, always kind of sustaining that interest level. You know, people are always going to be willing to give and donate to a great cause, but you want to keep your tournament at a level where, you know, people are always talking about it. So we've talked for years to come on adding a few different things year to year. So try to, you know, kind of change things, but, you know, keep the product at a high level.
Mm-hmm. You got to kind of evolve and add some, you know, interesting incentives and stuff like that to kind of interest people, right?
Right. I mean, our you know, with, you know, we playing in the NHL, having the relationships, you know, as far as prizes, raffle items, you know, a lot of ex, you know, players, Hall of Fame players, memorabilia, you know, just kind of everything, you know, with, you know, with hole in one prizes, you know, kind of list goes on. So we always try to, I always said, you know, if I ever do a tournament, you know, I played a lot of them over my, you know, days, but the ones that always stood out to me, the ones that we had something going on kind of every hole, and the presentation was good. And so I wanted to kind of mimic that. And, you know, everyone at the tournament done an unbelievable job, you know, just doing that.
Yeah, you just got to, like I said, just make it a little bit more fun and exciting, right? And just to be clear, that $1 million shot off is like a hole-in-one competition, basically, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's... I think you're kind of at that $150 area. And hey, you got to rip at it, you never know.
And I'm assuming no one hit that last year, then.
I think the green was missed, actually.
Oh, no way.
I'm not sure exactly. It's been a bit of time, but I, you know, you get up there, you got 150, 200 people kind of staring at you from the deck there.
Yeah.
Now you're going all by yourself kind of out there. So you almost kind of appreciate what the pros do, you know, with all, you know, with the fans around and making these shots at clutch time. So, it's a fun thing for everyone. It keeps everyone kind of, you know, around and something to look forward to.
Absolutely. Do you take a crack at that hole in one or what?
I haven't. I might this year.
Just for
we
fun.
Might have a little wrinkle. We might have a little wrinkle in the whole thing where I might be involved.
There you go. That'd be a story for Spit and Chicklets. Put $100,000 on it between the boys or something.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
All right. Well, they love the gambling.
Yeah. And they're gambling, they're golfing, drinking, and stuff like that. Just boys being boys, right?
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, obviously, we're looking forward to the event coming up in July by the time this airs. And we're a little bit ways out, and who knows when this will actually make it. But let's wrap it up with a little bit of Stanley Cup predictions. At the time we're talking, just last night, Boston has advanced to the Stanley Cup Finals, unfortunately. And we have the Sharks and... St. Louis. So, what are your predictions right now? It's 2-1 for the Sharks.
Well, it's like, you know, going to the Boston series, it really showed their depth. You know, I mean, Tuukka Rask was, you can beat the guy. I think there was, I think he let in 4 or 5 goals in that series, which is really crazy. Flipping, to the next series. I don't know, it's kind of a coin flip to me. I think St. Louis is probably going to even up the series tonight. I think it's just so evenly matched kind of series where you just didn't know what way it was going to go. You know, watching last game, I think, with San Jose jumping out early and then, St. Louis kind of gaining the lead and then having that last second, you know, tie up goal, and then obviously the debacle in overtime. So I don't know. I think you're going to get an angry St. Louis team tonight, but I think it's going to be San Jose and Boston in the final.
That would be quite the story. I see Joe.
And I'd like to see San Jose do it. Yeah. For that reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
Double's been around forever.
Well, that whole team deserves it. All those guys, Pavelski, Latour, Burns, it's so deep on that team.
Right. So, for those reasons, I like San Jose, and I hope they have the opportunity to play for it.
Yeah, I agree. That series between them and St. Louis is easily going to be a 6 or 7 game series for sure. You can tell just going into it. And to allude to what you're saying about Boston, such a deep team, strong team, always have been, and they just showed it in this this series, even though...
Carolina wasn't even in the same game.
No, exactly, right?
Like, I think Carolina, I'm not sure if they overachieved kind of getting into that. I know with our cup run team in Florida, we were definitely not built to make that long of a run. But right things come together at the right time, and it seems like it was kind of like Carolina. They were getting great goaltending, timely scoring. Had that little bit of a horseshoe. So
yeah, they had the crowd behind them.
Yeah, and they were outmatched this series pretty heavily.
Yeah, I mean, going into it, it didn't really feel like that. But it, then again, just Boston showing up and showing what they can do just really said a lot about them. Like I said, I might hate them, but you got to give them some credit where it's due. They're a great team.
Yeah,
that's pretty much.
I learned about that Boston area and their championships lately.
Yeah, I don't know. We got to dig into that. I think that's something for the Barstool Sports boys, though.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you very much for taking the time to do this, dude. And we're looking forward to the event, and hopefully I'll see you there.
Hey, Jake, anytime, man. Thank you.
That interview was brought to you by SeaGiant.ca. SeaGiant has tickets for everything, including games, concerts, and theater events, much more, in Windsor and across the border in Detroit and beyond. It's all in Canadian dollars, and you can use code WINCITY now to get 5% off your order. If you're looking for tickets for an upcoming game, concert, anything like that, or in the regular season when the Windsor Spitfires and Windsor Express even have tickets on there. All in Canadian dollars, and better yet, you get 5% off with code WINCITY now. But now, without further ado, we're going to switch it over to our second interview with Mark Cadot. Here we go.
So this one, we're here at the Atlas Tube Center.
on my day off, if anyone's asking. I'm here with the former London Knight, 10-year pro in various leagues, teams. He's the owner, operator, and coach of the Mark Cadot Hockey Academy, Mark Cadot himself. Welcome to Wind City Sports. Thanks for coming out. You were born and raised in Windsor, so talk about kind of growing up in the city. Where did you grow up? What neighborhood are you from? Stuff like that.
We had played Windsor AAA growing up, lived in LaSalle, and then moving on, all I had back then was Windsor Club 240 is actually what it was back then. And moving up the ranks, snuck to play for the Windsor Bulldogs out of the old barn.
Yeah.
All right, our room was upstairs and everything else. The coaches were smoking in between periods. It was a little bit different than nowadays. But Windsor Bulldogs, and then progressed out in the Ontario Hockey League for 4 years, and was fortunate enough to make a little bit of a living out of it, and it was good for me.
Yeah, so you had a pretty unique OHL career. You played with some great players under some great coaches. Do you remember that time pretty fondly? Or
Niagara Falls, and after I got traded to Plymouth, obviously Pete DeBoer was coaching San Jose. You know, he was a big influence and you know, work ethic type style guy, and that's what he demanded. And you know, he took a like to me until he traded me to London. If you ask him, he says that's the worst trade he ever made in his whole career. So
yeah,
and got me to London, and but the Ontario Hockey League was good for me, and it worked out, and was able to make a bit of a.
Not everyone is able to do that, right? But that was the next thing I had on here. Also, was talking about coaching or being coached by Pete DeBoer, Windsor guy, Spitfire guy. I'm sure that's something you cherish. Like you said, now he's coaching the NHL, coaching the Sharks.
Yeah, I know. He, like I said, he's a big influence, and he was the type of guy. I mean, I don't know if he's changed a little bit now, but back then, if he was a guy that wasn't talking to you, that means he liked you. So you do your own thing. Mm-hmm. And a big thing that stuck in my head was, you know, be consistent. If you're there, doesn't matter what you're doing, be consistent. If you're going to work hard every day, work hard. If you're going to be a bit lazy, be lazy. But whatever it is, be consistent. Don't be back and forth, because then it keeps people guessing and they don't know what to expect. Yeah, I know you're going to be a nice person, everybody. Be a nice person. I know you're not going to be it. Be that same way. So those are the kind of things that stuck with me, you know, growing up in the Ontario Hockey League and around Pete for a couple of years.
Yeah, it did seem like he wasn't talking to you because he felt like you didn't have to worry about anything that was going on.
That was more of his philosophy. If he was in your face, I mean, he's probably a little annoyed with you, or how you are as a person, or how you are as a player. Mm-hmm. He just left you alone. That means, you know what? You know, it means you're doing your job.
So although that may have been the worst trade that he ever made to sending you to the London Knights, it was pretty much a breakout year for you. Seems like it was pretty stacked teams, and also obviously a prestigious organization with the London Knights. Did you enjoy your time there too?
Yeah, London was great, man. We lost in the conference finals, I believe, that year. But you know, we had a lot of good players. Tom Kostopoulos, Chris Kelly was in there. Johnny Erskine, who just got in a car accident there, and hope he's hanging on. But you know, we were a pretty good team back then, and like I said, I liked the city of London, and had a pretty good season, and you know, got off to the races after that.
Mm-hmm. So pretty much from there, I believe you went undrafted, but you signed with the East Coast and played there for a few years. What was it like playing in the East Coast? Is it like just guys trying to make a statement and get noticed and stuff like that?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, everyone thinks it's easy and everything else. Trying to make $1 outside of the Ontario Hockey League becomes pretty challenging. And, you know, you're getting thrown into a fire, and you're living on your own at 20, and you're down south in the United States, and different rules and different things apply, and, you know, you're with older guys, and, you know, it's a constant battle, right? So, but yeah, then you got to find your own way, you know, you got to figure it out on your own, and sometimes you do, and sometimes you don't. Fortunately enough for me, you know, it took me about a couple of years to figure it out, and progressed me along more for about 8 more years playing.
Yeah, it's like that anywhere, you know, any pretty much workforce kind of have to mold your own. But did you go right to the ECHL from the O? Or?
I tried out for the Edmonton Oilers, and then they actually offered me a two-way with the American League. And for $100 more a week, I didn't sign.
Mm-hmm.
I went to an independent team. It was Florence, South Carolina, which was PD Pry, which was Jack Capuano, who now is just got hired DJ's assistant for Ottawa. So, you know, it's a small world, this hockey world. But yeah,
So you were pretty young going into pretty much your first pro year, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, that's sure that's a challenge, like I said, just being a young guy. And even after 3 years, I think 3 years in the coast, I decided to go overseas. How did that kind of come to be, and how was that decision made?
Well, a buddy of mine, Mark Turner, he played 20 years all over the world too. He was kind of saying, well, let's go overseas and let's try something different. And I said, yeah, no problem. The money was there and, you know, the exchange rate was good. So, you know what? I snuck over to England for 3 years, 4 years, 4 years, I think. And then ventured my way to Italy for a year too. Yeah. So, and I got to get to travel the world and, you know, getting paid for it. It was a pretty good setup, you know.
Yeah, it's a good little perk to the job. Right? Actually, I want to talk about playing in Italy in a minute because I'm actually going there next week.
Oh, okay.
So it's cool to kind of tie that in. But I notice a lot of guys when they go from, you know, like American or Canadian guys that go overseas, they don't usually stay long, maybe, you know, a year or two with the team here and there. But it looks like, yeah, you spent a few years in Nottingham. So I'm sure you enjoyed the city and staying there, or else you wouldn't have stuck around, right?
Yeah, Nottingham was a great experience for me. It was a good city. There's a lot of people, a lot of things going on. You're right in central location in England. And I met some good friends, and I still have friends down there today I still talk to. So it's, yeah, you know, it was a good setup.
It's probably good to keep in touch with people for hockey sense too, right? Again, yeah, coaching and developing kids. So
yeah, it never ends. I mean, I even told a guy to start a hockey company over there, and I see him doing really well now too. He's retired, but he's doing all hockey stuff over there. So it's kind of, yeah, it's good. You always stay in touch with guys.
Yeah, keep it kind of in the system, you know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a local thing almost. But again, we'll go back to talking about Italy there. So what was the hockey like there?
Italy was interesting. The arenas didn't have walls on them. It was freezing cold. You know what? It was pretty good hockey. And, you know, being able to go to places like Milan and Asiago and all these places in Cortina where the Olympics was back in the day. It was all close. Ski the Italian Alps, you know, and get to see a lot of interesting things and interesting people. And, mm-hmm, you know, pick up a second language. You know, it took me quite a while to do it, but enough where I felt confident to do it. So
yeah, I'm not confident going next week and trying to conversate with people.
Yeah.
We went last year. My plan was to learn so I can go this year, but it didn't go so well, yeah. And obviously the food is just amazing there. I'm sure that was tough to have all that around you while being an athlete, right?
Yeah. Well, England, food is England average at best. And then moving to Italy, yeah, it was great. It was a bonus. Yeah, they do things right over there.
Yeah, and you said, did you do some skiing and stuff there?
Yeah, you know, like, it's pretty funny. Like, some guys live in the mountains, kind of. They would ski to practice because it was faster than taking a car. They go up the mountain, ski down the hill, they're in the rink. Take them 10 minutes, 20 minutes. If they had to drive, it would take them an hour. So, but yeah, I live right in the Italian Alps, and it was gorgeous scenery and everything, the way they live over there, and
yeah,
you know, learn to adapt to their culture too is good.
Yeah, that's the cool part about, you know, being able to travel and see the world, how people live. But obviously we're always like familiar with Canadian hockey players. I can't even imagine what an Italian hockey player would be like. Are they like different kind of people or what?
Yeah, they're a little bit different, you know, but entitled and everything else, but they're proud of their country and their culture. And you know, if you didn't try to speak their language, then they don't really take a liking to you. But if you try, then they help you out. It was really good over there.
Yeah, that's all that really counts. And same thing here.
Yeah.
But by 2006, you come back home, and you're playing for the Port Huron Flags, along with other guys, Craig Mahone and some other guys were there. Was that decision made to kind of be closer to home?
Yeah, it's closer to home. I mean, my grandfather was really sick, and I didn't think he was going to make it there, so I said, you know what, I'll just stay closer to home as opposed to me flying across the world to, you know, if he got really sick and whatnot. So I decided to stick around here, Port Huron. And then I got, Craig Mahon, Mike James, played with those guys over there, all Windsor guys. And then I got traded to Muskegon my very last year. And then I just kind of gracefully just bowed out. So for the most part on, you know, not a lot of injuries, a couple here and there, but you know, so I just great. And then I met my wife, and that was it.
Life happened, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you're able to make a living around hockey. It's pretty awesome. Like you said, travel the world and stuff. And was Mahone and those guys recruiting you? Like, how did you kind of end up in that league? Or was it just like, I want to go back to North America, and I was just there?
Yeah, it was just one of those things, and I want to stay close to home. Mahone was there. James was there. And I was like, I got a couple buddies, so like, I can make it work. Mm-hmm. And just reach out and see what he can get, and had my first house, so you know, it helped out for my first house. They, you know, they pay your mortgage, they give you a salary, so you know, for 2 years it was pretty good too. Mm-hmm. Right,
absolutely. So being a hometown kid that didn't play for the Spitfires,
Did you find that after your OHL career, you were able to play with more guys like Craig and maybe that you didn't really have a chance to play with before, rather they be a local guy or not?
Yeah, I mean, we still play and everything else. And
In the pro ranks, you know, going from the OHL and then going in pro, you get to cross paths with people that you never did before.
It always comes back around, man. It's, the game is funny. You stay close with a lot of people. And you might be away for 5 years, and next thing you know, it's your partner, it's your left winger. Right? So it's funny the way the game works, but it's a unique group, and the way everything works for everybody. And at the end of the day, it all comes back around. If you're good to the game will be good to you.
Yeah, it's full circle. So you mentioned after a few seasons there, I think it's the IHL, you just gracefully kind of stepped away from the game. Life started happening. Is that when you started to do coaching and training? How did that kind of come into your life?
Like I said, Frankie Vola is the head scout of the Windsor Spitfire. So he goes, hey, man, you know, if you want, you can come coach with me. And so we had the 96 draft, and we were able to start there a little bit, and then from there I took on my own team for the 2002 draft, and then I said, you know what, I think I can make something out of it, like a living, teaching kids too a little bit and being involved in Sun County and everything else. It kind of just fell into place for me, and move on. I'm still on the ice every day, and you know what, it's good. I'm on the ice almost year round, but I enjoy it. It's good to be out there, and it's a lot of memories. The sheet hasn't changed. It's 80 or 90 by 180, and be able to give back to the kids a little bit, and fortunate enough to still make a living to provide for your family. It's a good scenario.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, just having the connections from being in the hockey world here for so long, it kind of lines it all up. You know, it's open your own camp or whatever. You have a reputation and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
But when did the Market Dot Hockey Academy kind of come to be?
I got about 6 years ago now, 5-6 years ago. I just started it, and you know, you get some help from people that, you know, on the tech side, where how to do your, like I do all my own stuff, websites and everything else, and try to, you know, getting out and talking to people and about minor hockey systems, associations. And like I said, now I got my kids coming up, so at the end of the day, it comes around.
Mm-hmm. And you have some good coaches in the lineup there. Like DJ is involved, and who else is involved in the kind of the?
Yeah, I have Danny Angers. He's an OHL graduate. You know, he's one of my right hand hands. Patrick Murphy played for the Spitfires. Obviously, DJ's been around. He's been a good buddy of mine for our whole life. He's, you know, he does a lot of talking. If I need any consulting or if people need it, you know, he comes out and says a speech once a year to the kids. So it's good to hear different voices, not just the same person all the time.
Yeah, is this like your full-time gig too? Is this pretty much it?
Yeah, and then, you know, involved with the school board as well too. Oh, yeah. So in the mornings with the school program. So
okay, at the ice park there?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's actually, this is out of St. Williams St. Anne's and Leamington. So yeah, so there's, like I said, there's stuff out there. And like I said, it's enough to provide, and fortunate enough to be able to do what I still like doing.
Yeah, exactly, because I mean, who doesn't like hockey, right? To be able to make a living around it, and pretty much, yeah, that's it, you know, to make a living around hockey. Something I always wanted to do, but it's not easy, you know. So that's very cool, man, and appreciate you coming out here and telling us all about the Mark Cadot Academy. Where can we find you if some kids wanted to get involved?
Just Google my name, Cadot Hockey Academy. My website will pop up, and whatever is out there is, like I said, just register online and away you go.
That's who I found you. All right, thanks a lot, man.
Cool.
Okay, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed those interviews with Jovo and Mark Cadot. I had to bring the podcast inside because I had to pull up the laptop to see what's going on as for upcoming events this week in Windsor. Not a ton. Clippers potentially in playoffs still. The time I left, they had just wrapped up the regular season, and we're waiting for playoffs. Last week, same thing. So at this point, I'm not too sure exactly what's going on with them, but we're trying to keep up on social media as well. The St. Clair Green Giants baseball team had a lot of home games this week. Six since Saturday, Jesus. And they are starting off a new 2-game series against the Scouts at Lacoste Field today at 7 p.m. and tomorrow at 7 p.m. also. They're just coming off a series with the Copperheads at home. This weekend, they take on Jazz McBride, and then all of next week are on the road. And it looks like the Windsor Rogues are actually off this week. No game for them. And I'm sure there's a lot more to actually talk about, but unfortunately, I can't do that since I'm coming to you from the past, another pre-recorded episode. But that is all this week on Wind City Sports. My name is Drake DeMoran. I'm here every Thursday with a brand new episode on iTunes, Spotify, WindCitySports.com, and wherever podcasts are found, including the brand new Border City Podcast Network. We have a radio show on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit every Thursday at 12:30 p.m., and we did do pre-recorded episodes these past 2 weeks. We have replays on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and you can catch us on social media at WindCity_sports on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and wherever is applicable. Follow us, and we're posting some stuff from Italy as well, and follow me. You can follow my trip, and keep updated with the podcast and Windsor stuff at Drake DeMoore on Instagram and Twitter. So until next week, I'll be back in the flesh, the brand new episode from right in Windsor. Until then, ciao.